NTSB helps Canada investigate a weekend accident. The Teamsters say Frontier is crying wolf. And Russia's new stealth fighter has to abort a takeoff. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011. The NTSB has dispatched a team of investigators to assist the Government of Canada in its investigation of Saturday's crash of First Air Flight 6560, a Boeing 737-200 combi. The plane, en route from Yellowknife to Resolute Bay, went down an approach about 5 miles east of Resolute Bay, Nunavut, Canada. There were reportedly 12 fatalities and 3 survivors. The Associated Press reports weather was foggy at the time of the accident. As first responders arrived, they found several hundred military personnel who had been in the area conducting a mock airliner accident training scenario. They were attending to a real-life situation. Authorities say the quick action may have been a factor in helping 3 people survive the accident. The investigation is being conducted by the Transportation Safety Board of Canada, which will be responsible for any release of information from here on out. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters, the certified union representative of the pilots of Republic Airlines and Frontier Airlines, has disputed a claim by airline advisor Michael Cox that a lawsuit filed by the union earlier this month has placed the financing the company is seeking in jeopardy. Earlier this month, the union filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Denver against Frontier Airlines Incorporated, its parent company, Republic Airways Holdings, and a shell company set up by the rejected former union of Frontier. The lawsuit alleged that Frontier, Republic Airways Holdings, and the former union, the Frontier Airline Pilots Association, which recently lost a union representation election to the Teamsters, entered into unlawful concessionary agreements intended to interfere with Republic subsidiaries' pilots' choice of the Teamsters to be their collective bargaining representative, and to perpetuate FAPA's continued representation of Frontier pilots. The lawsuit seeks to invalidate the agreements. Teamsters economist James Kimball, in a sworn affidavit, disputed the claim by the airline's consultant that their restructuring plan was now in jeopardy. In fact, he says, the company's own filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission contradict that claim. A demonstration of Russia's new T-50 stealth fighter was aborted due to a technical problem at an airshow Sunday. 2 of the planes on hand for the show had been flying without issues over the previous 4 days. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin had watched a demonstration flight of the plane last Wednesday. A spokeswoman for the MAX International Airshow at Moscow Zhukovsky Airport told AFP News the pilot stopped the takeoff due to technical defects before the Sukhoi fighter left the ground. A spokeswoman for United Aircraft Corporation, the state-run parent company of Sukhoi, the manufacturer, blamed the aborted takeoff on a fault with the right engine. The T-50 is being jointly developed by Russia and India. The official projected date for the plane's entry into service is 2016, but the Russian military expects to have the first of its T-50s within 3 years. Up next on ANN, the Pentagon is about to test UAVs in commercial airspace. The Cygnus cargo module arrives at Wallops for integration. And Homeland Security tests the Shadowhawk UAV in Texas. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The Pentagon and the FAA have announced that the U.S. will create between 4 and 10 regions in U.S. airspace, where testing of unmanned aircraft systems will be conducted to evaluate new sense and avoid technology. The areas will enable testing in heavily traveled commercial airspace, and site selection will reportedly begin next year. AOL Defense reports Steve Pennington, executive director of the Defense Policy Board on Federal Aviation, confirmed last week that the sites will not be co-located with existing Defense Department sites already cleared for UAS testing, such as Grand Forks Air Force Base, but will likely abut such sites. The idea is to start demonstrating that technology allowing UAS to sense and avoid will be safe enough to let them fly in the see and avoid world of manned aircraft. In the coming round of tests, the UAS will get help from ground-based systems to help them avoid mid-air collisions with manned aircraft. Data from ATC and other sources will be fed to ground-based operators of unmanned craft to allow them to preserve separation. The authorization to create the zones is part of the FAA reauthorization legislation stalled in Congress. Lawmakers are expected to take a fresh look at finally providing the FAA with long-term funding and authorization when they get back from their summer vacations next month. So, what federal lawmaker would want to allow the mixing of manned and unmanned air traffic over his district? Pennington predicts lawmakers will compete for that opportunity when they see the increased federal spending it could bring. NASA's partnership with industry to develop transportation to the International Space Station will reach another milestone tomorrow. The cargo module for Orbital Sciences Corporation's Cygnus spacecraft, which will carry supplies to the station, is scheduled to arrive tomorrow at NASA's Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. During the next several months, Orbital's engineering team will integrate the cargo module with the Cygnus service module that includes the spacecraft's avionics, propulsion, and power systems. The Cygnus spacecraft is scheduled for a demonstration flight early next year on an Orbital Taurus II launch vehicle under NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services Agreement with the company. Cygnus will launch from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport's Pad 0A at Wallops. As ANN has reported, Vanguard Defense Industries is promoting its Shadowhawk unmanned aerial system as an aviation asset good not only for surveillance, but also for carrying weapons ranging from tasers to 12-gauge shotgun shells and 37 or 40 millimeter grenades. The company recently announced a contract to provide Shadowhawks for anti-piracy duty off the African coast for an unspecified energy company. Now, UberGizmo.com reports the state of Texas has been awarded a grant by the Department of Homeland Security for a squadron of Shadowhawks. It's not clear whether they'll be the turbine or piston models, or exactly what the surveillance or weapons profiles will be. The craft is 7 feet long and weighs just 49 pounds, but cruises at 50 miles an hour, can reach speeds of up to 70 miles an hour, and offers endurance of up to 3.5 hours. It reportedly can launch in winds up to 25 knots and uses both visual and FLIR cameras to broadcast, record, and even automatically track objects or people on the ground. It's also not clear how the Shadowhawk might fare against terrorists in Texas or pirates off Africa if they respond with ground fire. And finally today, the press secretary for Britain's Prince Harry says the third in line for the throne, quote, will be coming to the States at some point in the next couple of months for a handful of courses in parts of Arizona and California, unquote, to further his helicopter skills, and that he'll spend a total of about 2.5 to 3 months in the U.S. An article in China Daily cites an unnamed source in reporting that Harry has called time out on his two-month relationship with lingerie model Florence Brudnell Bruce, who friends call Flea, in order to keep his thoughts clear while he focuses on training. Harry will eventually be assigned to an Apache squadron within the U.K. and could wind up in Afghanistan. But United Press International reports it was Flea who fled. Britain's Sunday Mirror reported talking to a source close to the stunning 25-year-old model, who said, quote, she felt he had a wandering eye all the time, and she wasn't really into not knowing who he was flirting with or talking to when they were apart, unquote. The breakup is said to at least be low-key, which is fortunate. Harry and Flea are distant cousins and likely to bump into each other on the party circuit. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.